Well, we're going to turn to the Lord's word now. So now's the time to grab your Bible. And if you don't have one to hand, please don't panic. The words will appear actually on the screen as I read them. And we're going, as I say, to Luke's gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, one of the four gospels in the second part of the Bible in the New Testament. And we're going to pick things up in this series from chapter 5. So that's after the birth in Bethlehem narratives that Luke tells us about, and will feel quite familiar and fresh. Christmas wasn't so long ago. And we pick things up in chapter 5 of Luke's gospel. I'm going to read from the first 11 verses. This stage, Jesus is an adult now and just beginning his public ministry. So let me read from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. A few months ago, I bumped into a friend on Crouch End Broadway, and she was saying how her husband was away for the weekend on an annual fishing trip to a remote and beautiful part of the UK with some old mates catching up. She turned around and said that, as she described, and I said, "Was he experienced?" She sort of described all that they got up to and said, it's more of an ethical fishing trip, really. So I said, knowing nothing about fishing, So they put everything back. She said, "No, I mean, they don't catch anything at all." And I don't know if you're an experienced fisherman, fisherwoman, fisher person, but in our reading, Jesus wants us to see who he is and what he's like, because he wants his followers to know the most important thing we can be doing is fishing. Let's see what he says. Firstly, who is Jesus? We're to see he's the Lord God himself. Luke writes so as we'd be helped in picturing the scene. We're told the crowds are flocking to the coast to listen to Jesus. He's teaching the word of God and they want to hear more. And it seems the beach is filling up where they're all sat. So we're told, verse 3, that Jesus takes Simon's boat, asks him to push out a little further from the shore, and then he can preach to the crowds as they gather on the beach. And then once his preaching is over, Jesus says to Simon and all his fishing colleagues, verse 4, look what he says, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answers, "Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught a thing, but because you say, I will let down the nets." You see, they're experienced fishermen. They've been out all night and not caught a thing. They are, if you will, ethical fishermen, but not through choice. And now here we have the carpenter's son. He's drawing a crowd as a teacher. Now he's claiming to be Captain Birdseye himself. He's clearly a rookie to Simon. All fishermen know that the best time to fish those waters is at night. But because it's Jesus who asks, Simon says, okay, we'll do it. Just back in chapter 4, it's this Simon who's seen Jesus heal his mother. And so he's willing to listen and trust and obey. Sure enough, he does so. And what are we told? He catches tons of fish. The nets are breaking. They have to call all their mates over. And two boats are almost sinking. The haul is so huge. Like lots of families, we have been through our fair share of goldfish. And let's face it, they are the easiest pet and, frankly, perhaps the most disappointing. They really are takers, not givers, aren't they? There's nothing that a goldfish offers. A little bit of amusement, perhaps, as they swim round and round and round. You can't train a goldfish. You can't teach a goldfish to sit or lie down or roll over. In fact, when they do roll over, that's a different trick altogether that a parent has to try and explain. Fish swim where they want, when they want, but not for Jesus. No, fish don't do as they please. They do as he pleases. Because who is Jesus? He's the Lord God. He's not simply got lucky, seen a large shoal and said to Simon, try over there, you must be hungry. No, he wants it very clear. He's the Lord God. He can control the fish. He controls nature. Now, during a global virus like this, it might well be we're asking, well, if he can control things like that, what about COVID-19? We'll keep thinking as the weeks go by about what he's like, the things he does and doesn't control and why. But above all, here we're to see he is the Lord God. But we're also to see what is Jesus like. And it's the fact that he's the friend who forgives. The clue really is in Simon's response. He knows that what's just happened before him is not because Jesus is the better fisherman. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. You see, Simon sees and recognizes he is clearly in the presence of the Lord God. And so he also sees and recognizes that he doesn't belong there. He doesn't feel safe as a sinner in God's presence. He orders him to go away. It's an imperative. Go away. And at this moment, Jesus reveals what the one true and living Lord God is really like. You see, Jesus doesn't correct Simon, does he? He doesn't say, no, get up on your feet. I just got lucky. I'm not the Lord. You're not sinful. He doesn't correct Simon. And nor does he listen to Simon. He doesn't say, sorry, too much, too soon. Okay, I'll go. You come and find me when you feel a little happier. No, instead, Jesus stays right where he is and simply says, don't be afraid. In the original, it's two words, fear not. Yes, Jesus is the Lord God. And yes, Simon is right to fear his sin in his presence. But Jesus has come to draw near to sinners and so casts out fear. Just a few verses later, in this chapter, Jesus will say, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And just a few chapters later in Luke's account, Jesus says from the cross, Father, forgive them, They don't know what they're doing. We'll think more next week about the extent of Jesus' forgiveness. But it is clear he is the Lord God, high and mighty, miraculous in power, and yet draws near to sinners, won't go away, and in fact says, no, don't be afraid. Thirdly, and finally from these verses, we're also given a clue as to what life's priorities are to be for Christians. And it is fishing, just not for fish, which may be a great relief for some. Look at verse 10. Don't be afraid, Jesus said. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. You see, despite his capabilities on show here that day, Jesus hadn't come to open up the best stocked fishmongers in town and clean up and make a killing. No, he's come to fish for people, for souls. And so he preaches and he teaches the word of God. And here he calls some fishermen to follow him and to fish, just not with their rods, but with his words. And because of who he is, and because of what he's like, we're told Simon and his friends leave their nets. They leave behind all their old priorities because they've clearly found a new one. They gladly follow Jesus on this fishing trip. As Luke's gospel continues, it's clear how they go about their fishing, telling their friends about Jesus, who tell their friends about Jesus, who tell their friends, and so on. To follow Jesus is to go fishing. I'm sure we all know what it's like when you hear a song for the first time, or perhaps you see a play or, excuse me, a film, and it catches your imagination and captures your heart. And you just can't not tell people about it. Before you know it, you've got your phone out, you've sent a text or picked up the phone and called someone, Facebooked, you've told the world. You want people to hear or see something you've heard and seen. Kate and I had it quite recently. Shameless plug, we saw a play with James McAvoy, a new version of Cyrano de Bergerac. It was incredible. And we spent that weekend waxing lyrical to everyone we saw about this play that we'd seen. And if it comes back on tour after the lockdown, go and see it. It is brilliant. When we have something capture our heart, we tell people. We'll leave everything and we'll tell people. And yet when it comes to telling people about Jesus, if you're a follower of him, if you're anything like me, that just sounds terrifying. And so Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's right that we see that he is, in many ways, terrifyingly powerful. But he's also terrifically friendly, if I can put it like that. He won't go away. He draws alongside sinners who would otherwise be simply lost at sea, that we'd be hauled safely aboard ship, and then join him in going fishing and telling other people about who he is and what he's like and the rescue he offers. So, Christchurch, Crouch End, let's be those who see Jesus clearly and go fishing. Let's be thinking about what our priorities are, especially when the lockdown lifts. Let's pray that as we regroup and regather, and what a first Sunday that will be, I can't wait, but let's pray that as a church family, our priorities will be clear. Let's be a local church that fishes the local waters for Jesus. Let's be praying for and speaking with those in our community about who he is and what he's like. Of course, that is something we can be doing now as well. In many ways, life still feels busy, perhaps busier still, as new skills are learned, particularly if you're juggling work and homeschool or coping in this pandemic together. And yet there's still 24 hours in the day, still opportunities to be praying for and speaking of the Lord Jesus, who he is and what he's like. What opportunities are coming your way to do that with new friends, new neighbours, new communities on WhatsApp for your street, fishing for Jesus right where you are. And lastly, and perhaps more personally, it's right that we think during a lockdown, isn't it, about what it might mean we have to give up, just like Simon and pals gave up their fishing nets. I've been thinking how the lockdown has seen me, has seen our family, has seen so many of us give up lots of the things that we used to fill our diaries with. Some good things that we miss, some less good things that we really don't miss. But lots of us, I'm sure, are reviewing life's priorities. What things that were filling our time before the lockdown might not actually need to restart after the lockdown, that we'd have more time to speak of the thing that should capture our heart, the one who captures our heart, the Lord Jesus. Luke wants us to see just who he is and what he's like and join him fishing. Just three brief questions then as I close, and then I'll pray. How do these verses reassure you about who Jesus really is? How do they reassure you about who Jesus is? Second, how are you comforted in these verses by seeing what Jesus is really like? How are you comforted by seeing what he's like? And thirdly, how's your fishing going? Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that as we've spent time in the Psalms, hearing the great comfort and encouragements of it being you who draws near, you who is eternally steadfast, we thank and praise you that as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be extremely clear about who you are and what you're like. We pray that you would help us, even in a lockdown, to spend time in word and prayer, having him capture our hearts, perhaps for the first time, perhaps afresh, that we would use the time now available to us to be fishing and to reassess our priorities, that as the lockdown lifts, as we're granted, as it were, open water, we would go fishing together. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.